Thank you, Sandra. Thank you for reminding us, a great song, that we need our great God and Savior. We need our Lord. We need His salvation and His love and His righteousness. Thank you for that reminder. Well, church, please turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, if you will. Exodus and chapter 20. Before we get there, I just want to say thank you to Ken Hansen, who has been running our sound. There we go. Who has been running our sound for the past few weeks and will be running it again next week as Rick Denny has been on the trip to Thailand as well. And I'm so grateful for Kenny. He's our building superintendent. And, you know, unless you're a professional or you're 18 years old or younger, you can't understand that kind of technology. But thank you, Ken, for helping with that. And then also, church, I just want to make you aware that Gary and Megan Hendrickson had their baby on Friday, so little Andrew David, if I got that information right, was born Friday, and they are excited to welcome that boy into this world and into their home, and I know you'll want to rejoice with them as well. Well, as I was doing research this week, I learned some facts, some new facts, which were actually a little bit surprising to me. There was a time in America when over 40 states had filial laws, filial relationship laws, obligating adult children to provide for the needs of their aging parents, right? Food and housing and clothing and medical expenses. Now, with the onset of welfare and Social Security, many of these laws went by the wayside. Some were repealed. But it's interesting to note that in over a dozen states today, these laws are still on the books. I was reading an article on this, and according to one elderly affairs lawyer, very few states actually enforce these laws. However, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Pennsylvania were listed as states that enforce these laws. So in conversation with Amy this week, I gave her three choices of where we're going to retire. North Dakota, South Dakota, or Pennsylvania, and I made sure that my kids were part of that conversation as well. Actually, it's not just in America. It's not just in America where these kind of laws are actually in existence or coming into an existence. Just a few years ago in China, of all places, a law was passed requiring adult children to be, quote, emotionally supportive of their aging parents. And this would include visits, right? So citizens in China are, by law, and I have no idea how they enforce this law, are required to be emotionally supportive to their aging parents and to visit them. And of course, more than a decade ago, a heat wave ripped through France, resulting, or through all of Europe, and resulting in somewhere between 50 and 70,000 deaths. And in France alone, there were some 15 to 18,000 deaths, most of which were for elderly people as a result of this heat wave. According to the publication called The Age, many of the bodies of these elderly people remained unclaimed for weeks because their families were on their annual, what they call holidays, what we call vacations, during the month of August. And so these bodies just were in the apartments. And in light of this, France passed legislation, Article 207 of the Civil Code, according to this publication, The Age, obligating children to honor and respect their parents, to pay them an allowance, and to provide or to fund housing for them. Now, when I first read this, it surprised me. And maybe some of you are surprised by these laws as well. But there is clear precedent for these laws, isn't there? In fact, that's where we come to today in the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Would you stand as we honor the reading of God's word, the fifth commandment, verse 12. As God gives to Moses, and Moses will in turn then speak to the people of God, to the Israelites, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Will you pray with me? Lord, as we have been studying the Ten Commandments, we have recognized our inability to keep these commandments. And this command, just like all the others, we find that we fail in way too often. Or so often, whether it's our physical family or the spiritual family that we're part of, we fail to honor one another. We fail to honor our parents. Lord, from the youngest in this room to the oldest, Lord, we struggle with this. So God, thank you that Jesus fulfilled this perfectly. And give us grace as we seek to live according to your plan and according to your will. Speak to us even now. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Well, while most of us are familiar with the fifth commandment, it seems that many professing Christians believe that they've outgrown this commandment. I mean, we all agree with the fifth commandment. Like, we know the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, and we readily accept it, but it seems that many professing Christians today believe they've outgrown it. Now, I don't mean they think that it's not important for children to honor their father and mother. No, they do believe that, but they literally think they have outgrown it, as if it's only applicable to people who are under 18 years old. And of course, it is that. It is applicable to children. But in another sense, it's applicable to us at every stage of our lives. Now, we'll follow the same pattern this morning, the meaning of the command, the keeping of the command, and the breaking of the command. But before we get to the meaning of the command, I just want to say a few words about this command and its placement in relation to the other commands. Scholars have long noted two different tables of the law, right? The first four dealing with our love for God, right? Led by the most significant, you shall have no other gods before me. And so the first four are dealing with our love for God. The first four are governing our relationship with the one true and living God. But then the second table, five and the rest, govern our relationship with others, right? They talk about how we are to love one another, how we serve and encourage and love one another. Even Jesus, Matthew 22, said, look, all of the commands, the law and the prophet, depend on two commands. To love the Lord your God with everything that you are, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So we see two tables in the Ten Commandments. The first command giving the framework for the next three commandments, and then the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, give the framework for the rest of the commandments that we find here in the Ten Commandments. Pastor and author Philip Ryken notes, love for others starts in the home, as the family is the beginning of relationships in society. So it makes sense, right? If the second table of the commandments really deal with how we love one another, it would begin then with how we honor our father and mother, how we show respect to the authority that God has placed in our lives, right? It's through the family that values are most effectively communicated, whether what is being communicated is virtuous or not. Saint Augustine wrote, if anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he will spare? If anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he or she will spare? So we begin to learn to love and to give and to sacrifice and to communicate and to relate to one another in our own family. So we see the importance of this commandment. Now let's talk about its meaning. The meaning of the commandment. Start with the meaning of the commandment. The word honor in Hebrew, the word translated honor in the Hebrew, is a word that means to have weight or to be heavy. It's a weighty thing. So to honor someone or to honor something means to consider it as weighty, to give it its proper due. As a side note, this is the same word that describes God's glory in the Hebrew language, right? God is glorious. He's weighty. He's heavy. He deserves and he demands attention. That's what the word means. Now, the commandment isn't telling us to view your parents as God, but to recognize their value, their worth, and to respond to them as the one who God has put in authority over you. The commandment encourages us to give weight to the position of authority that God has given to parents in the lives of their offspring. So how do we do this? How do we honor our father and our mother? By listening and loving and respecting and submitting and obeying. Now, as we've seen with all of the commandments thus far, this commandment as well is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the God-man. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit in his earthly mother, Mary. And during his entire life, Jesus never sinned. He fully submitted to his earthly mother and father, obeying them when he was to obey, never sinning or rebelling against them. In fact, that was throughout his whole life, and then even to the point of his death. You remember, as we studied the seven sayings from the cross, just before Jesus was to die, he looks at his mother there in the crowd, and he says, "Woman, behold your son," pointing or looking over here at the Apostle John, his close friend, the disciple whom Jesus loved, and looks at John and says, "Behold your mother." What's he doing there? He is making provision for his mother after he would be gone. Joseph is likely dead and gone by now. We read nothing of him as we make our way through the gospel accounts. We assume that he is no longer on the scene. So Jesus then taking the position of a son who will care for his mother, honoring his mother even in his death. Of course, Jesus is also the Son of God, right? And as the Son of God, Jesus honored the Heavenly Father with his entire being, with his whole life, always doing that which the Father had shown him. Jesus seeking to do the will of the Father, saying, "My food is to do that which my Father tells me to do." Even there in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he's to die, he's praying, he's pleading with God. His prayer is so intense, he's bleeding, sweating drops of blood. And he says, you know the words, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." And he submits even unto death. And friends, it's precisely because Jesus submitted to, honored the Heavenly Father, that he is qualified to pay our sin debt on the cross. It's precisely because Jesus lived a sinless life that he was able to represent fallen humanity on the cross and take the punishment that we deserve. Of course, we know he didn't stay dead. On the third day, he rose victorious over death, defeating sin and death forever. So all those who are in him are now free from sin and are secure in Christ on the solid rock. So we see the fulfillment in Jesus, but we also see it being spiritually fulfilled in Jesus. For those who are in Christ by faith are now part of the family of God. And because of the work of Christ, because of the grace of Christ, because of the calling of the Spirit in our lives, we now are able to be made sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father, brought into a spiritual family where we love and we honor one another and we submit to those who are over us in the Lord. Our great Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has fulfilled this commandment even when we have failed to live accordingly, even when we have turned away from the authority that God has put in our lives. So why keep the commandment? Why is it important that we keep this commandment? Well, for several reasons. We know what it means. How do we keep it? The promise of Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, is that your days in the land that the Lord your God has given you may be long. So that your days would be long. Paul says, the first command with a promise. Now, contrary to popular belief, this is not a mere chronological promise. In this room, there are some people who are 90 years old. I don't want to burst anyone's bubble, but it doesn't mean that if you're 90 years old, you scored a 10 out of 10 on honoring your parents when you were growing up, okay? And likewise, if someone in your family has died a young death, it doesn't mean that they failed when it came to honoring their parents. No, this is a general promise that actually has more to do with the fullness of life or the abundance of life than it does age, right? Those who submit to God-given authority in their lives are more likely to prosper and enjoy life as God designed life to be. That's why the author of Proverbs repeatedly calls us to listen. My son, if you will listen, if you will apply these words, if you will heed wisdom, then it will go well for you. Over and over we see this. If you will take my words, the father, the parent says to the child, if you will take these words and bind them around your neck and listen to them, then your ways will be made straight. This is a general promise that when we submit to God-given authority in our lives, that is, if the God-given authority is leading us in the direction of wisdom, then our days will be more full. Now, under the old covenant, to reject one's parents, to be rebellious against one's parents, was a severe crime. In fact, in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 9, or Deuteronomy chapter 21, you read of the consequences for a child who is rebellious against his parents, unrepentant in rebellion against parents, will not listen. And friends, it's dramatic and it's severe. The punishment is death. Such a one who rejects the authority that God has put in that life and lives a wayward and rebellious life, the punishment was death. And friends, the truth is, in Christ, for those who are apart from Christ, the punishment is still death. It's an eternal death, but there is fullness and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Now listen, respect for authority is important to God, and that's why consequences are so severe. We should also note that throughout history, scholars have argued that the fifth commandment implies all areas of submission to God-ordained authority, right? So we see here first the primary area of submission. Of course, that's to God. We see that in the first commandment and so forth. But then the primary area of relational connection and submission is in the family. Children are to honor their father and their mother. Or as the Proverbs say, honor your mother and your father, right? So both ways, father, mother, mother, father, we are to honor the one true and living God in how we do this. But that submissive relationship really points to another submissive or all submissive relationships. So when God has given instruction on authority, we are to live. So whether we're talking about the state, the government, whether we're talking about civil leaders, whether we're talking about church leaders, or whether we're talking about in marriage, we are to submit to God-given authority for his glory, right? We should obey this commandment as Christians because as Christians, obeying this commandment, the fifth commandment, is part of what it means to follow Christ. That's why Paul can write in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, obey, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So, children, teenagers, as you are following Christ, this is part of following Christ. In fact, in Colossians 3:20, Paul tells us that obeying our parents pleases the Lord. So it's not only right, and not only is it part of following God's word, it is pleasing to God when we submit to the authority, the proper authority that is over us. And it makes sense then that when we disobey our parents, we are displeasing the Lord. J.I. Packer, theologian, author, argues that we should submit to and honor our parents simply because of their commitment in raising children, the sacrifices they make, the difficulties that it is. And beyond that, as we saw in Proverbs, children need the guidance of their parents. Friends, we see all around us the diminishing effects of society when guidance is not followed. We see the struggle in young people, children who grew up without discipline or training or parental involvement, for whatever the reason, right? I've talked to so many school teachers today who say the challenges they face in the classroom is nothing like it used to be. It's so difficult. And just look at statistics comparing home stability and crime rates. Friends, it's not surprising. When there is no training and no discipline in the home, then crime excels. The crime rate increases and it grows. Now, let me just pause here for a moment to make something abundantly clear. There are limits to the fifth commandment. There are limits to parental authority and the fifth commandment. I know that not everyone grew up in a stable home where both mom and dad had your best interest in mind. By God's grace, some of us in this room have risen above that. Above the influence or the care or the lack of care that parents have given. Some of us in this room had horrific childhoods. where your parents weren't involved, or maybe were abusive, and by God's grace, you've moved through that to who you are today. For some people in this room, to even think about honoring your parents makes you feel sick to your stomach because you know there is so much bitterness there because of what you experienced growing up. Let me make this clear. God is not calling you to submit to or to obey your parents when they are seeking to prohibit you from doing something that God's word calls you to do. And you're not God, and you are not called to submit to or obey your parents when they are seeking you to do something that God's word would prohibit or God's word would tell you not to do. The greater authority in life is God, and we are to run hard after him. We are to follow after his ways and after his word. And while you should not subject yourself to abuse, God still desires that you show respect and kindness to your parents, even if they are not worthy of that respect and kindness. God calls us to love our enemies, even as he has loved us. And he calls us to live at peace with everyone so far as it depends on us. So, does that mean that you're supposed to do everything your parents say? No, especially if it goes against what God's word would say. But it does mean that you're supposed to show them respect and to show them kindness when we are no longer financially dependent on our parents, not living in the house, whether we're married or not. While you are still called to show respect to your parents, yet obedience to what your parent may tell you to do is not absolute. It's not necessarily binding. Right? We should welcome their input. We should respect what they say, but it is not binding. And then also, when it comes to married couples, you know, some married couples struggle hard because they can't break the chain or the tie between their parent, right? So, you know, maybe mom is speaking to the son who's married now to this gal, and the influence of mom is more important than the influence of wife. That doesn't work out well, does it? Or the influence of a daughter trying to kind of break free from her dad now that she's married, but the dad holds an inordinate amount of influence in the marriage. That doesn't lead to happiness. It doesn't work good. So we have to remember the leave and the cleave principle and recognize that while we can value their input, it is not a binding input where we must obey what they say at that point in life. Now, we've seen what the commandment means. Let's discuss how to keep the commandment. Let's talk about the keeping of the commandment. Puritan pastor and author Thomas Watson argues that the fifth commandment calls children to revere their parents and to be careful to obey them. And such reverence, he would say, is both an internal and an external reality, right? It's not merely an external compliance, right? It's an attitude of genuine submission to the glory of God. It's not about obedience with a poor attitude. It's not about complaining all the way to finally you're complying with what your parent has to say. It's a willing obedience. Children show honor to their parents in the way that they speak to their parents or where they speak about their parents, in the tone of voice that they use. It's a respect with our words and with how we speak those words. It doesn't mean that we can't ever disagree. It doesn't mean that we'll never always agree with what our parents have to say, but it does mean that when we express our opinions, we do so in an appropriate and a respectful way. Think about the military. Never served in the military, but I imagine that if there is a lower-ranking soldier or a lower-ranking officer who has a disagreement with a higher-ranking officer or soldier, that the way that he would go about or she would go about expressing that opinion, that disagreement, would be very careful. There'd be a lot of respect given in that situation. Doesn't mean you can't necessarily say it, but it just is important how you say it. Same is true when it comes in a work relationship, right? Some of you in here are work for someone else at your business, whatever business it is. Some of you may own the business or maybe a high-ranking person in the business. And when someone who is a subordinate wants to disagree or needs to express something that is contrary to what's already happening, the way they go about expressing it, if they want to continue working there in the future, is really important, isn't it? It's to be done with respect. It's to be done in such a way that values the authority of the other person. It's really important. In our family, we talk a lot about gratitude and thankfulness. We don't always reach that. We're not always there. But we talk about gratitude and thankfulness. How we communicate with one another. Is it from a context of gratitude and thankfulness, or is it just about complaining about what we don't have or what we would rather have? Kids, teenagers, one way to show honor to your parents is simply by saying thank you. In most cases, your parents work hard to provide not only your necessities, but also the things that you want and the things that you enjoy. Food, shelter, clothes, entertainment, activities. They spend their time, they spend their energy, they spend their money and their emotions on you and on your life. So beyond gratefulness, kids, teenagers, you can show honor to your parents when you accept and learn from discipline. Now, our natural response to discipline, I know, it's like, oh, come on, I didn't even do that. We want to justify our actions, or we want to say, oh, I can't believe that you treated me that way. Or we want to get all defensive about something. Or we want to shut down because we're mad at our parents for treating us that way, or for disciplining us in that way. We want to hold a grudge. But friends, children, teenagers know this. True discipline is an act of love. It's an act of love. They want to train you in the way that you're to go. They want to shape you for life. They want there to be a difference in the way that you live than the way that the rest of society lives, because they love you and they want to set you on the right path. In fact, if parents don't discipline you according to the ways of the Lord, they are disobeying God and failing in one of their most important roles as parents. To this point, pastor and author Kevin DeYoung suggests that children should learn to humble themselves and to admit when they are wrong. And oftentimes this would include saying, I'm sorry, and meaning it. So if your parent needs to discipline you for something, seek to recognize what's going on. Seek to understand your fault and then apologize for it. And hear this, parents don't always get it right. We don't always get it right when it comes to discipline. Sometimes we get too upset about something, or we lose our cool, or sometimes we jump to a conclusion. But more often than not, a negative reaction to discipline in the life of a child is more about self-righteous justification in the child than it is about genuine unfairness. And parents, because we don't always get it right, be humble. And when you get it wrong, and we all get it wrong, let your child know that you got it wrong and apologize for the way that you responded or what you did that maybe exasperated the child in the moment. Now, some of you are thinking, oh, great, this is a good sermon for kids who are under 18. Well, maybe it is, but it's for you too. Okay, it's for you too. As we get older, honoring our parents may just mean keeping in touch with them, including them in the things that are happening in the life of your family. So how many of you live in the same city as your parents? How many of you live in the same city as your parents, or very close city, proximity? Okay, so less than half of you. So that means that your parents, if they're living still, are maybe in a different city. Like, my parents are 1,300 miles away, okay? So it's important then for me, on a regular basis, doesn't mean every day, doesn't necessarily mean every week, to let them know what's going on in our lives, to call them, to communicate with them, just to include them in the things that are going on in our family. Sometimes it's prayer requests. Sometimes it's things that they can rejoice with us about. Sometimes it's just kind of the daily thing. What's taking place? What opportunities are happening? What's going on in the lives of the kids? This shows an honor to parents. What parent doesn't want to know what's going on in the life of their kids and in their families? Every parent does. Every parent does. So now I'm speaking on behalf of parents who have college-age children. If you're in college, and there's some of you in here, your parents want to know what's going on in college. What's going on in your college life? What are you doing there during those days? How's your studies coming? Just be in contact with them. Communicate with them. Care for them in that way. And then, of course, parents, as your parents get older and they find themselves in need of care, adult children should be the first to make sure that they are cared for. And I'm not saying that you have to provide in-home care, as sometimes that is both impractical and impossible depending on the health of your aging parent, both physical health and mental health of your aging parent. But I am saying that children should make sure that they are caring for their aging parents, seeing to it that they are properly cared for physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. And especially if you live in North Dakota, South Dakota, or Pennsylvania, okay? Because if you don't, actually, in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus is asked this question by the Pharisees. The Pharisees are complaining to Jesus, saying, "Hey, Jesus, why don't your disciples follow the traditions of the elders and wash their hands in this certain way before they eat?" And Jesus looks back at them and says, "Let me ask you a question," as he often does. "Let me ask you a question. Why do you forsake the scriptures in favor of the traditions and break the fifth commandment?" See, they had this thing called korban. Means devoted to God, okay? So the religious leaders, many of the Pharisees, would devote their money, after they died, of course, to the glory of God, to the service of the temple. So then, they could use that as a justification not to care for their aging parents, right? There was a responsibility, care for your aging parents. Oh, Corban, this money here is devoted to God. Once I die, that is, it's mine until I die. But when I die, this money's going to God, so I really can't waste it on my aging parents. And Jesus says, you forsake the scripture for the tradition of the law, and in doing so, you break the fifth commandment. And not only that, in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul tells us that he who does not care or provide for his own relatives is worse than an unbeliever. Is worse than an unbeliever. Now that's a big deal, isn't it? So let's talk here about the breaking of the command. We've seen the meaning, we've seen the keeping, now let's talk about the breaking of this command. And it should be obvious that the breaking of this command means dishonoring or disrespecting our parents. And while some people look at the rebellion of children as just part of growing up, right, it's just going to happen. And friends, it does happen. We recognize that. It does happen. We all have sin in our lives, and we all push back against authority. But the New Testament includes disobedience in lists of great sins. Romans chapter 1, verse 30. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Along very incredibly heinous sins is disobeying your parents. Has everything to do with the authority that God places in our lives. Breaking the fifth commandment at whatever age you are is a sin against God. It's a sin, friends, that put Jesus on the cross. And it is a sin that some people will suffer eternally in hell because of. So we break the commandment when we speak ill of our parents, directly or about them to other people. We dishonor our parents and we gripe and we complain with negative, ungrateful hearts. When we speak to them disrespectfully or we question their motives or their decisions. I mean, how many times do I have to hear after an instruction is given, why? And how many times do I think that in my own heart about some other authority? Why? Friends, this is something that we break on a regular basis. Maybe it is something to do with aging parents and how we fail to care for them or love them as we should or provide for them as we should. Or maybe it is I'm an older, a young man and I don't really value what my parents have to say anymore, so I disrespect them on a regular basis. I don't live in their house. Well, whatever it is, friends, this is something that all of us in this room have a tendency to break. And some of you are thinking, well, I'm safe because, you know, my parents, they passed away many years ago and it's just me. Well, it's not just you, because in Christ you're part of a family, a spiritual family, who we're called to honor one another, to love one another and to serve one another and to prefer others as over ourselves, to recognize how God has put us together. John Calvin argued that when we fail to show reverence to our parents, whether in our attitudes or our words or our actions or our inactions, we break the fifth commandment. And friends, I could go on and on and on and detail more ways that we break the fifth commandment, but I think you get the picture, right? In fact, most of us know how proficient we are when it comes to breaking the fifth commandment. That's not the problem. The problem is, while we genuinely want to honor our parents, we just mess up all the time, don't we? We just mess up a lot. So what do? From early on, we develop these sinful patterns of wanting to prioritize ourselves over others. We don't want to let anyone tell us what to do. And as we have more opportunity, we begin to live out our own desires more fully. In our sinfulness, we rebel against authority, not just our parents, but against God's authority. So what do? There's not a person in this room who has not broken the fifth commandment. What do? Well, first, we confess our sin to God. We confess our sin to God, and I want everyone to hear this, young children, to those who have parents living still, we confess our sin to our parents. You know, when I spoke to you that way, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I didn't honor you in that. Mom, Dad, I know I haven't called. I haven't been in as close touch as I should have been. I want you to know I love you and I want to do better in that. Mom, Dad, I'm trying to get to visit you more often. It's really tough, but just know I love you and I want to do better. So we confess our sin to God and we apologize to our parents. And then we ask God for grace to honor our parents. Most of us in this room, I believe it is true, if your parents are living still, you genuinely want to honor your parents. You genuinely want to submit to God, love your parents, and honor them. We just seem to mess up. So ask for God to give you grace to grow in this area, right? For God to convict you of the heart attitudes that lead you to the breaking of this commandment. What are some of those attitudes? Some of them are just selfishness, right? Like, I want to do with my time what I want to do. So I don't really have time to go visit you. I don't really have time to make this call. I'd rather just do this. So we just pray that God would convict us of the sin, of the heart attitudes that might lead us to break the fifth commandment. But for others, there are some I know in this church who have a great bit of bitterness in their hearts toward their parents. There's just bitterness. What you need to do is ask God for grace to forgive your parents and to show them the respect that God wants you to show them. You may never be real close to them. And certainly you're not going to live your life the way they would maybe have you live it, because you've seen what it's done in their own lives. But God wants you to respect your parents. He wants you to honor them, and he wants you to be kind to them, even if they don't deserve it. Remember, God loved you when you were his enemy. And he died for your sins. Jesus died for your sins. And hear me say this. He died for your sins, some of which are the very same sins that you are holding a grudge against your parents towards today. So be merciful, because God has been merciful to you. Friends, as we transition to a time of invitation, please know that I am available if you want to talk more about the mercy of God found in Jesus Christ. If you have questions about the forgiveness of sin, eternal life, or baptism, whatever it may be, come talk to me during this invitation time or after the service is over. I'm available. If you find me out in the hallway, we would love to talk to you about this. For many of us, we just need to spend time praying. Not just children under 18 years old living in their parents' household, but all of us praying that God would make us more sensitive to this issue, that we would honor and respect our parents. And I also would encourage you to pray for parents. We don't get it right all the time. We need God's grace. We need God's grace. So pray for parents. Ask God to give us wisdom, to give you wisdom, so that you can shepherd your children in a way that is honoring and pleasing to him. Will you pray with me? God, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your mercy, for your kindness. Lord Jesus, thank you for the fact that when we were disobedient and rebellious against you, you initiated relationship with us. You loved us even when we didn't deserve it. And God, we confess today that so often we reject the authority, we fail to honor the authority that you've placed in our lives, whatever it may be, whoever it may be, parents, spouse, husband, church leader, civil leader, governmental leader, in the way that we act or speak. God, forgive us. Help us. Cause us to value you more than anything or anyone else. And in valuing you, may we seek to submit ourselves to your will and to your ways. Do this for your glory and for our good, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand and receive?